Let's pray, and then we're going to cover a lot of ground, mostly because it's mostly genealogy. So we're going to give you a quick outline, give you more questions and maybe answers on some things, and then we're going to do some summaries at the end and show you the blue people, which most of you have already seen. Okay, let's pray. Lord, help us as we study just to learn your word again, to be well taught, well instructed, to know your word so that we have the foundation that the rest of the word is built on, and so that we can think rightly. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Let me just read it. We're starting at the end part of Genesis chapter 9. Starts at verse 18. We ended with verse 17 last week. I'm just going to blast through this real quick so you get the overview. Then I'll give you the outline on the right side, and then we'll cover some summary points on the back, okay, which I think are almost as important as the outline itself. So Genesis 9 verses 18 through Genesis 10:32, which is the entire chapter of Genesis 10. Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. Then he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant." And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Now this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah: Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And sons were born to them after the flood. Obviously daughters as well, right? The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras. The sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Togarmah. See, this is why I wanted Pastor Jim to read this. The sons of Javan were Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, Dodanim. From these were the coastland peoples of the Gentiles were separated into their lands, everyone according to his language, according to their families, into their nations. The sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Rama, Sabtaka, and the sons of Rama were Sheba and Dedan. Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, Calna, in the land of Shinar. From that, the land he went to Assyria and built Nineveh, Rehoboth, Kala, and Rezin between Nineveh and Kala. That is the principal city. Mizraim got Ludim, Anemim, Lehabim, Napt to him. By the way, the IMs are like S's on the end, so that's most likely these are people groups, not people. Pathrushim and Kalushim, just like saying seraphim or seraphs, right? From whom came the Philistines and the Kaphtorim. Canaan begot Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, the Jebusite, the Amorite, the Girgashite, the Hivite, the Arkite, the Sinite, the Arvadite, the Zemarite, the Hamathite. Afterwards, the families of the Canaanites were dispersed. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon as you go toward Gerar, as far as Gaza. Then as you go toward Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, Zeboim, and as far as Lasha. These were the sons of Ham, according to their families, according to their languages, in the lands and in their nations. And children were born also to Shem, the father of all children of Eber, the brother of Japheth the elder. The sons of Shem were Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. The sons of Aram were Uz, Hul, Gether, and Mash. Arphaxad begot Selah, and Selah begot Eber. To Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided, and the brother's name was Joktan. Joktan begot Almadad, Sheleph, Hazarmaveth. That's what I'm going to name our next kid if we have one. Zerah, Hadaram, Uzal, Dikla, Obal, Ebemel, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, and Jobab. These were the sons of Joktan, and their dwelling place was from Mesha as far as you go towards Sephar, the mountain of the east. These were the sons of Shem, according to their families, according to their languages and their lands, according to their nations. These were the families of the sons of Noah, according to their generations in their nations, and from these the nations were divided on the earth after the flood. Any questions? Any pronunciations you want repeated? That's too bad. Yeah, nickname Hazard or Haz. You don't want his middle name to be Benjamin, because then he'd be Has Been. We're getting way off track here, aren't we? You know, part of it, why list the genealogies? To show that they're real people. It's not myths. Okay, these are real people. Now, that's not a complete list. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But let's just go number one. It's not numbered, I guess. But the first one is the fathers of the world. What do I mean by that? Yeah, and notice here in the first part it says, and from these, the whole earth was populated. So all of us here, not only are descendants of Adam and Eve, but we're also all descended from Noah and his wife, and we're descended from one of his three sons. Okay? All of the population of the earth descended from Shem, Ham, or Japheth. Okay? So we're all relatives. That's one big reunion. And let's have the Noahic reunion and invite everyone. By the way, I think we can all fit in, what is it, Jacksonville County, Florida? All the people of the world, population-wise. Yeah. It's really tight, and the restroom situation would not be good, but we could fit, right? Okay, next. That's to the point. Shem, Ham, and Japheth are the fathers of the world, if you will. From them, all of the nations, or all of the world was populated. The next one is Noah. Changes, I call it careers. Well, why do I say that? It says here he becomes a farmer and planted a vineyard.
Well, I was a sailor before.
And before that? A shipbuilder for 120 years. Now listen, there's a couple things to think about. If you live to be 900 years old, the question of what do you want to be when you grow up would probably be paragraphs. Because you could do so many different things. Okay? So, but here, all he did for 120 years, it sounds like, is build a ship. And then he spent a year sailing in it, actually. And then now, what is he going to do? Didn't really need any more ships. Right? God just had promised last week, we're not going to do this flood thing anymore. Right? The whole earth. So it's like, you know, all that skill you developed, you can scratch that off your resume. No, they needed ships, but he became a farmer and planted a vineyard. You know, what are you going to do? He's going to settle down. How old was he? About 601 years old, give or take. When the flood was over, he was 600 when it started. It lasted, what, slightly over a year, right? That's what we showed last week. What am I going to do with all my time? It's too early to retire. I'm not even 900 yet. I've got many good years. And he did, didn't he? Did you catch how many years he lived? 350 more years. I mean, we can't even think in those terms, can we? And we, you know, think of it as living 10 times longer than we do or more. Okay? And he's lived 600 years and he still had, what, roughly five times 70 in him? Okay? Now, the next part is harder. And this is, I'm just covering it briefly. I call it Ham dishonors Noah. Okay? If you want to interesting reading without any ability to come to a serious conclusion, read commentaries on chapter 9, verses 21 to 27. There's so many differences because no one really knows for sure. There's hints, a lot of dogmatism and all that. But let me list some things, and they're in here. Noah becomes a farmer. We just read that. He grew what?
Grapes,
okay? Noah becomes drunk. We're going to talk about that in a little bit on the backside. Noah becomes uncovered. He's naked in his tent. It's probably a good place to be if you're naked is in your tent. Okay? Ham sees his father naked. That's what it says here. He saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers. Shem and Japheth. Now, some people, I'll tell you a little bit. Some people think that there was more involved than just seeing their father naked. But listen, it appears that the issue was seeing because Shem and Japheth backed into the tent to cover their father. So to build it into something more, and some people do, seems unwarranted. Because they backed in so that they didn't see Noah naked. Okay? To cover him. There's even more confusing because Noah was a perfect man. Right? What's he doing drunk? That's a question. Let me just throw out a quick answer. We have no answer. But there's two possibilities that I actually list on the back side of your notes. One is that Noah just became bad. The problem with that is there's nothing in there that condemns Noah for this. God doesn't say, look what you did. And Noah doesn't take any blame on himself. Now, another possibility is that the event was embarrassing enough for Noah. You really didn't have to say anything. You don't really need to beat it into the ground. Look what you did. It was pretty obvious. The third possibility, what did we say was possible the earth could have been like? Could have, speculation. Remember? It's possible that the earth had like a canopy vapor barrier. Some people say, well, that's not a viable view anymore. Whatever. It's all speculation. But the idea is it could have been evenly heated temperature around here. Some people talk about higher air pressure. Higher air pressure. The oxygen that they find in like those amber modules that they find with bugs in them and stuff is way higher. So higher oxygen. And the UV rays, less ultraviolet light. It's not impossible that there was no fermentation before the flood. That's another possibility. Because later on, you don't hear anything about drinking until after the flood. You don't see any prohibitions about anything until after the flood. Okay? So, was there fermentation? That's one theory. It could have been completely by accident that Noah got drunk. Okay? He doesn't appear to be a drunkard beforehand. Maybe he was a drunken sailor. No, Yeah, maybe he didn't know what he's doing. Yeah, there you go. They spoiled or whatever. But it's possible that the grapes would not spoil then. So they wouldn't ferment, okay? Just the different possibilities. We mentioned that with the hyperbaric chambers around the world, different things, like the tomatoes that don't ripen, do you pluck them and stuff like that? It may not have been an issue. So, different ideas. What's the right answer? We don't know what the right answer is. The Bible doesn't refer back at all to Noah's drunkenness or whatever. So it doesn't give us enough information to really know. Water? Oh yeah, it was all dried up. No, it wasn't all dried up, right? They had water. And it could, maybe he was depressed. Who knows, you know? Who knows? We don't know. It doesn't give us any more detail, and so therefore this is one of the places in the Bible you can't come to conclusions. It frustrates us to no end because we want to know. But we don't know, right? So, moving right along, Shem and Japheth cover their father, and Noah curses who? Canaan. Because of Ham or something Canaan did. This seems weird. And some people will argue that all the way through here, Ham is the father of Canaan. Right at the very beginning even. Notice the red on your notes. This is what I do. Usually I strip it all out when I give you black and white notes because it wouldn't look good and it'd be hard to read. But this is one way I kind of study different words, and here it's people. But look at all the red. Ham was the father of Canaan. And Ham, verse 22, the father of Canaan saw the nakedness of. And then, so Noah wakes up from his wine and says, curse be not Ham, Canaan. Why? Some people say, well, it could be the, when it talks about his son, it could be his grandson, that maybe Canaan actually did this. But Ham was responsible for his son, whatever, how you want to say it. Okay, by the way, this would have had to be sometime afterward, right? Because they didn't have any kids until after the flood, right? But somehow he cursed Canaan, which was the fourth child of Ham. Lots of different reasons. Some say, well, so that he'd be the last child that Ham ever had. There's all these different speculations. The Bible doesn't really tell you much. We'll talk about Canaan a little later, but Canaan was kind of the arch enemy of Israel eventually. They went into the land of Canaan. Okay? So I can't tell you more than that. And if you're a teacher teaching this next week, I would probably, for the younger kids, skip this whole section. You could use verses 18 and 19, and then I'd probably skip to the next chapter because there's just enough information. Other than maybe Noah died. Look at the next part here. Noah dies. That's our next point. Noah dies. So I don't really have much to tell you more about this part. Ham dishonors Noah, but somehow Canaan is involved, or at least implicated. Maybe he went out and was telling everyone. Okay? Something like that. If looking was all that was done, and maybe it was the sharing with others, whatever, we don't really know. It's frustrating, but that's the best we can do. Noah dies. He lived 350 years after the flood began, technically. Okay, he was alive to see many descendants. Imagine 350 years. He would have seen a lot of people before he died. Okay, now we're like, oh, if we can see our grandkids or great-grandchildren, that's huge. He would have probably seen eight generations or more. 350 years? Okay. He apparently had no more children himself. We don't hear any more about Mrs. Noah. Death, the result of Adam's sin, continues. Okay, remember, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Physical death, still onward. He lived 950 years, but he died. Okay? The next part here, and this is just filling in the blank on the side. There's not even any blanks to fill in. The introduction, this is the genealogy of Noah's sons. We said they could even possibly have been triplets, remember, before? Because when he was 500 years old, he had three sons, potentially so. There's more genealogy in Genesis 11. I have this in your notes on the side. There's also a more complete genealogy in 1 Chronicles 1. Apparently, what you see here wasn't intended to give you the entire scope of these families, just certain lines. Okay? To show that from them, here's kind of a general idea of the groups that came. You get Shem, Ham, and Japheth listed in 1 Chronicles 1, and it goes in much more detail and gives more descendants. Okay? So it wasn't intended to be a full, just, hey, here's the genealogy, and here's kind of some key players in that genealogy. Then it lists the descendants of Japheth, Ham, and Shem. They seem to be listed by age here, like who's the oldest. But Shem is always listed first when it lists them. Like here's the, they were Shem, Ham, and Japheth, but here's Japheth, Ham, and Shem's genealogies. It's kind of backwards. Okay? So don't really have much more to say on that. Flip your sheet over and notice it gives a fuller list of Ham and Shem. Japheth, there's not as many listed there. Several of these are like Ethiopians still call themselves Cushites, for example. There's a bunch of these that you can tie directly into people that exist today. We know that all of us are from one of these three men. Okay, so we know he did, but how they spread out eventually, and especially after the Tower of Babel, which is next week. Okay, but they spread out into different places, and they obviously were seafaring to some degree. They got the Great Britain, there's Africa and the whole Asian continent as well. So most of the people were there. Some people think that Indians came and walked over on the ice and down. It's possible that if the world did split land mass wise in some way, shape, or form, the different people were split at different times. We don't really know. You can ask God when you get to heaven. We also have genealogies for Jesus from Matthew, which begins at Abraham, and Luke that begins from Adam. Goes all the way back to Adam. So not trying to exhaust this. My urgings, I would love to dig into this and just work it out in detail, but I'm not going to do it for your sake, okay? Because I would enjoy plastering on this. I outlined all of this genealogy myself last Sunday, I think. I was going, who descended from who and the stuff like that. After I did it, it's like, well, it doesn't really. It shows you five generations, but it doesn't really show you much more. Nothing earth-shattering or whatever. But it would be cool to tie in the different genealogies and all of that too, but not really a focus here. It does show that they're legitimate people that had descendants and that we're all from them. And give you some idea of geographical location eventually.
This thing about Canaan and Ham, I think the Lord may have had a reference to this when he gave the commandments in Exodus. Now, this is just a cursory thought. I was looking and it says, he was talking in Exodus 25, he says, "You shall not bow down to them." He's talking about other gods. "And serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers to the only children, to the third and fourth generations, to those who hate me."
This would have been more generations than that, though.
What I'm getting at is the fact that Ham had a bitterness because of way he was treated.
Yeah.
And it affected him.
But Noah cursed him right up front, and cursed his son, rather. Didn't curse Ham. He cursed right up front. He blessed Shem, and he blessed Japheth, and said, "May Canaan be your servant," and both of them. It had something to do specifically with Canaan, but the account doesn't share Canaan at all, except that it says Ham is the father of Canaan. Ham is the father of Canaan. Okay. We know enough, but not enough, right? We know it's there, but we don't know enough. So, okay. Last is a restatement. These were the families of the sons of Noah, according to their generations, in their nations, and from these nations were divided on the earth after the flood, and precisely, and more specifically, at Babel. We will talk about Babel next week. Now, here's three takeaways, things to think about. Okay, because it's like, what kind of lesson do you get out of a genealogy? Well, we looked at a little more in genealogy, but there's also a little couple things to gather. And Marv, this might nail down some things that why is this here? Okay, number one, and this has to do with the account of Noah in the tent. What we learn from Noah's curse of Canaan. Notice there's no fill in the blanks here. Noah is not condemned. In the account, we're not saying drunkenness is not condemned later in the Bible. It clearly is condemned. Okay? Here's a couple questions that leads us. Was the incident condemning enough itself? It's like, duh. You know, it's obvious that he was bad, did something bad, and therefore it speaks for itself. Or was there no fermentation prior to the flood? Personally, I lean toward the latter, but frankly, I don't know. Okay?
Why would you grow grapes if you weren't going to make
money? I eat grapes all the time at my house.
Oh, yeah.
And I love grape juice.
Raisins.
Yeah.
And could be a staple like grapes and raisins.
Yeah. So, and even if you study later on, they would dry up the grape juice into like a paste and then reconstitute it like a Kool-Aid almost. Yeah, no, but I'm saying you can't keep grape juice.
I know you couldn't fit, but you sure.
Yeah, okay. I'll just leave it at that.
It's also for anyone who needs iron, you don't have iron.
Right. But I mean, it's a form of food, just like apples or anything else. You can ferment just about anything, can't you?
Yeah.
So.
Sugar.
And grapes have a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
Apples, oranges. We'll leave that there. That sounds absolutely nasty. I'm thinking of a sixth grade science project, too, that's just terrible. But, okay. Notice here, the lesson here, there's not enough information, but there are some things you can draw conclusions on. Notice this, it emphasizes the shamefulness of nakedness. And some people say, well, maybe they did something more than just saw them naked. Well, it's like, well, based upon what happened, it doesn't look like it. It looks like nakedness was that big of a deal. Has anything changed? I mean, from the way we view nakedness, I mean, people strive to be as naked as possible and still be considered legal now. They do not see the shamefulness of nakedness. It's interesting, too, and I know this is probably a little bit of a soapbox. I couldn't even think. What did God cover Adam and Eve with? Not skin. What did he cover them? What was the style? No, he didn't cover them with leaves. He covered them with skin. That's what Adam and Eve sewed with leaves, right? What did God cover them with? He made them blank of skin. Yeah. They're like robes. You know, not we always see the picture of, well, Adam's got the little Tarzan thing, and then Eve's got up here, or she's behind a leaf and still just has the Tarzan thing. You know what I mean? And it's like, no, you look at it, and the word is a long, flowing garment.
The animal was killed. A very large animal was killed.
Yeah, or who knows how, you know, how they combine things or whatever. Maybe it was multiple. But the idea is God did not clothe Adam with the Speedo. And nakedness was something that caused Adam to hide from God. And we have lost our sense of shame about nakedness. Now, it's how much you can show. Right? Where very few times it really talks about modesty in the Bible. It's almost like a given because of what happened in the garden. But in 1 Timothy 2, it talks about a woman should clothe herself with shamefacedness and sobriety. The idea with a sense of shame. And by the way, God clothed Adam and Eve, not just Eve. Fair? It isn't just one-sided. Though I think guys have a little more issue with it. But it emphasizes the shamefulness of nakedness. We are not to uncover. Clothes are given to cover, not to reveal. Right? And here, just seeing their father naked apparently was huge. And they walk backwards. These guys are 100 years old. They're walking backwards so that they don't see the nakedness of their father. It apparently used to be a lot bigger deal than it is now. You wouldn't have seen them at the pool. At least not the way we go to the pool now. We. Okay. It emphasizes also parental honor. These guys are 100 years old or more, right? Because they had kids. Canaan was the fourth child of Ham. So a lot has happened before this. Maybe Noah's 700 years old. And maybe the boys are 200 years old, but they're backing in to cover their father because of the honor they held for their dad. And the sinfulness they felt that they would be dishonored if they didn't. It also provides a backdrop of Israel's future enemy, Canaan, and the inhabitants of Canaan. And it does not in any way, and there's huge stuff about this. We're going to get a video by Ken Ham called One Nation, One Race, One Blood. And I don't know if we'll show it in Sunday school, if we're showing it on a Wednesday night. But we've got to see that because some Christians have said black people are the descendants of Canaan, which, by the way, is not true. And use that as a justification for slavery and for looking down on other people. It is not a biblical concept at all. Okay? Which some use as an excuse for racism. So what we learn from Noah's curse, those six things. Number two, what we learn from genealogies of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Letter A. I'll just put number two here. Everyone is related. Everyone is descended from Adam and Eve. Here's the verse. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. I read an interaction on the Answers in Genesis. Someone wrote in, was really hammering him, which they do. It's like, you don't know what you're talking about. Only white people descended from Adam and Eve, and there were other groups of people, and only Noah was white and all this stuff. And you're like, really? People believe that? It's like, you wouldn't believe what people are taught. And you'll find in medical realms that you can't use a black person's blood in a white person. It's like, what? What cartoon have you been watching on TV? Because none of that is true, right? And one of the guys that wrote the response was a doctor, so he said it in a kind way, but it was pretty much like, you're an idiot and you don't know what you're talking about. He didn't use those terms, but it was like, it's like, you obviously have never given blood or received it. You know, they don't ask you, Caucasian, because they want to know what kind of blood you're going to use. They ask your blood type, right? Oh, okay. Everyone is descended from Adam and Eve. Everyone is descended from Noah and his wife. We are all cousins, related to one degree or another. We won't get into it much now, but Ken Ham addresses the issue of interracial marriage and close relative marriage. Like, where, people ask, where did Cain get his wife? Well, better question is, where did Shem, Ham, and Japheth's sons get their wives? You know, this is not just a one-issue thing. It's like, well, they married their sisters. Or they could have married their cousins, too, there, right? Right? But it wasn't wrong then. What makes it wrong? Ken Ham brings this out, and I don't want to steal his thunder, but in that video that we'll get. But everyone marries a relative. Ever think about that? It's just how close or how far away. As the DNA, as sin infected the human race, it breaks down. And therefore, at the time of the law given, several thousand years later, God puts a prohibition that you can't marry close relatives. And that's out of protection for the whole breakdown of human society. Ken Ham will get into that more. Acts 17:26. This is Paul preaching in Greece, and he has made from one blood every nation of men. You might want to circle that one blood part. To dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. So everyone's related. The next one is there's only one race. And that's the human race. Race, the term race, is neither scientific nor biblical. The idea of race came in 1859 from Darwin's writings, as we use the term race today, where thought, certain groups of people had evolved from different lines, different places at different times. Thus, the idea of a superior race. Who does that sound like? Huh? Hitler. Who believed in evolution? Who believed in superior races? Because everybody evolved spontaneously in different groups, and you had some people that are more evolved than others, and therefore we're superior, and we can wipe you out because you're lesser than we are. Jews, gypsies, anybody from other races. We're the pure race. We are all created in the image of God. We all descend from Adam. We all descend from Noah. We're all created in the image of God. Ham brings us out. We identify race because we've been programmed to do so. That's how we've been taught. What distinguishes us really is culture. It's interesting. One of my best friends in the Army was a black guy. He was from Ohio. One of my greatest enemies in the Army was a black guy. I wasn't his enemy, but he hated my guts. He was from Jacksonville, Florida. He thought that every white person was a card-carrying member of the KKK, and he told you that often. And that's not, there's no hyperbole there. It's a culture thing. He was brought up to hate white people because of a lot of what white people have done to black people. I'm not saying there isn't justification there, but my friend Richard Spears in Ohio, from Ohio, didn't think anything different. You know, or no big deal. It was a culture thing kind of thing. But understand, there's no difference in the eyes of God. We'll cover this in the next point, I think. There is only one color. We talk about colored people. There's only one color, and that's brown. We're all just different shades of that color. Okay, does that make sense? We're not... There's not black people and yellow people and red people, and it's just different shades of the same stuff. Okay? And there's reasons why, you know, things get excluded. People go off in their areas and they only have white people. But Adam and Eve, without a doubt, would have been some kind of shade of brown. And they probably, with all the kids they had, had all kinds of different variations, colors, sizes, and shapes. Because they had all the original DNA. The only couple that ever had all the DNA mix. Okay? They probably had white children, black children, yellow children, brown children, or whatever. Or maybe they were all brown, different, but and different kinds of hairstyle, you know, forms and all of that. But as people marry off and all that, you lose information. And so you can't produce. But you still have people today. Ken Ham will show you pictures, but there's pictures on the internet of people that have, they'll have sometimes a twin and one's white and one's dark. And they come from the same parents. And they're not biracial, if you will, using that bad term. Okay? It's just, it depends on what you have as far as information. Okay? As far as your DNA is concerned. There's only one color brown. It's just different shades of brown. Another thing that I think is interesting, the variables from which all mankind descend. Now, this is where I got me thinking a little bit recently. And I don't know if I'll lose you because I'm not a scientist. But you have Adam and Eve, and they have all of the genetic information to produce all the different types of people that have ever lived. Okay? Down to Noah, and they have all these other family, right? All these descendants, right? Noah and his wife would have had genetic combinations, but they would not have covered this whole spectrum. So, the third point on your thing there kind of covers this. There's a lot of genetic information. There was probably a lot more diversity of color, size, hair color, and all that than we have now. Right? Sometimes they dig up ape men. They call them that. But then they say, well, if he would walk by you today, he would be no different than you if you evaluated, other than his jaw might be a little bigger. So, well, maybe there was a whole group of people that descended from Adam and Eve that had that characteristic. But they got drowned in the flood, right? Or pygmies, or giants. There were still some giants in David's time. Giants as in taller people. Okay, so you have Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and they have that different combinations of Noah and his wife's DNA. What's the only variable outside of Noah and his wife? Their wives. We don't know anything about their wives, but they could have been completely different. Each one.
Different sisters.
Right. Yeah, they weren't their sisters for sure. So, their wives were the only genetic variable outside of Noah. So, we might have just the variations. Maybe they married wives that were different genetic makeup that actually brought in some variation that we wouldn't have had if they married if they had sisters to marry. Right? So, who knows? Were these darker skin, lighter skin, you know, curly hair or whatever? But I'm saying you have Noah and his wife, and then each one could be different. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Shem, Ham, and Japheth could have different skin colors too. Most likely Noah and his wife are not white. Okay? And then, depending on what the wives were, that could have given some genetic traits even within the realms, but not necessarily. And that doesn't mean they didn't cross to marry or whatever. But I'm saying you don't have all the people and all the genetic factors that were originally there. You only have what was in Noah and his wife and the wives. Okay? So that's interesting to me too, because I'm thinking, well, could one of them have married a darker skinned woman and a lighter skinned woman and, you know, and whatever. Who knows? And I'm not saying that's a perfect example, but we there's variations. But they all come from that group.
One of the interesting things that I can remember being taught in school is that you have basically four people groups. That's the way they identified them.
Four or three?
Four. And
Who's the fourth?
This is
okay.
One was your Caucasian.
Right.
One was your Negroid. One was your Oriental.
Mongoloid. They call that.
And the last one was, if I can think of it, one was Oriental, and the other was...
See, I was taught three groups. Anyone got more than three?
It was
And that, so that's what made me think about three groups.
Yeah.
Three wives.
But they were counting Noah and the three children. That's the way they were looking at it. And
but I'm saying,
yes.
Noah didn't have any more children, so... But I'm saying that's a false view to something. It could impact it some... But everyone marries their relatives,
right.
Bottom line. Now, the only other thing I have to add here, besides the blue people in the bottom of your screen here, is up here, we lost a lot. So we might have lost people that were much taller and maybe much shorter that would have been normal. You might have seen people with dark complexion that were tall and had curly red hair, and that was their characteristic. They, or you know, or whatever kind of variations that we don't have in abundance today. Right? There could have been whole traits of people that were lost. Short, I have a extra tall, extra short, differing head shapes, red curly hair. And again, those are just throwing out ideas. Okay? But there were probably all different shapes and sizes of people that what we, if we discover someone today, we're like, see, it's a prehistoric man. It's part of the evolutionary chain. It's like, no. No, a whole bunch of people died that their DNA wasn't passed on. Right? That's all I'm saying. That when you find something and it's different, that doesn't mean it's not human. It just means it might be something that wasn't passed on from Noah. It might have been pre-flood that died out. These people at the bottom, these are the blue people. As I read more, they for several generations, they were blue. They discovered it was a recessive gene, rare blood disorder that produced a blue hue to some of their children. This family here that you see, and I thought I missed the bottom part, but they had like four blue children and three normal color children. So, but I'm not saying there were blue people before here. There's one guy in this list, the Fugate family from Kentucky that lives in Alaska right now. This was just in the news last month, March actually. That's why I bring it out. But they found a cure for it actually. But who knows? You know, it probably wasn't skin color, but all the different traits that could be there. Okay? Maybe we have kind of thin, slitty eyes, we have big eyes, you know, different ones. Well, maybe there was another kind. Or five other kinds of eyes, you know, or what? And when you see variations, you ever seen people with a really big nose? Like just one of these monster round. I have. It's like, wow. I've seen cartoons of that, but it's true. There's people, you know. And it's like, just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not normal. It's just it's not normal to you. But just think, there might have been whole groups of people with that. Okay, so, but we're all related and we're all connected. And there's no premise or basis for racism. And in fact, Ken Hamill say this, and I've thought this for a long time. I've never heard anybody else say it, but I don't use the term race. Ethnic group, maybe. Cultural distinction, maybe. But race, there's only one race, and that's the human race. We're all created in the image of God, and no one's better or worse than anyone else by virtue of what they are. Ken Hamill even say, too, of all the genetic code, it's like 0.012. It's like 0.012% of genetic code is what makes us different on the outside. Really? That's all the difference. That's probably helped divide people. We're going to talk about that next week. But the races themselves, as far as ethnic distinctions, it probably depended on who married who and where they ended up. And there's reasons for both.
One of the interesting things in the dispersion, well, if you probably get to the next, the dispersion, family groups stay together because...
Language groups stay together.
Language groups stay together so that they can communicate, and they were family.
Yeah.
We have this, problem we face, incestual relationship.
It wasn't incestual.
No.
They intermarried within their groups.
Right.
Yeah. We'll probably hit on that a little more next week. And when we get that video, I don't even have it in yet, but when we get that video, it's about an hour long. We'll have to watch it because Ken Ham really, I listened to the audio on it. It's really good. But he's showing things that I can't see. You know, so it's not worth it. It's way better, put it that way, than seeing a video. And they don't have it in a download form, or I probably would have showed you today. So it's that good. So anyway, thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, not to look at other people in any other light than that they are our relatives. And we've all descended from Noah and his wife, and that you died for each one of us, and that we're all equally made in the image of God. And may we not be those that wrongly divide people into race groups. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.